Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lonnie.
And friends, we are back with Bad Batch Season 2, Episode 5, Entombed. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like we're entombed in some snow outside.
We are. By the way.
So, snow day for us. It's crazy out there. Hopefully you guys are safe. And we are munching on, what do we got?
We got some homemade oatmeal banana cookies. Chocolate chips are in there too. Mm. And they're so good. There's no sugar in here, and it's just sweetened with a banana. Man,
yeah.
If you have an air fryer, I highly recommend this recipe.
Yeah, Lottie has been... if anyone has air fryer recipes, whether they be dessert or dinner, whatever, please send them our way, your favorites. Like, I would love to, whether it's a transmission to Star Wars Hangout 77 or Fleur and Bill, or DM the Instagram, we would love to hear what those are, because it's changed our lives.
Yeah.
The air fryer. Wow. I wonder if they have one on the Millennium Falcon. You know?
I hope so.
How do you cook your food? I mean, they got to have like a microwave or something.
I was going to say, sometimes I envision them getting coffee, you know, like in The Expanse.
Yeah.
How they make coffee in the spaceship. And that's like one of the best things ever because, I don't know, they couldn't have coffee for a while.
Right. Right. They, yeah, here a lot of people have searched this. Yeah.
Okay.
Did the Millennium Falcon have a kitchen? A kitchenette on board the Falcon. Wow. There is, I guess, you know, those books that where you can look inside and you can sort of see some of the components, like the living quarters and stuff.
Right.
There is a small station where yeah, they have a little kitchenette there on board. Especially in Legends, they talked a lot about having a cup of caff, like your coffee. Yeah. And they had Nerf steak and things like that. But I want to pull up a full list. Maybe we'll do a full food episode one time.
Please.
For, yeah, like our patrons or something. That would be really cool. But anyway, we are, yeah, we've got our coffee, we've got our sweet dessert, and we are ready to talk about Bad Batch Season 2, Episode 5. And I have something that I noticed. You guys might have noticed it. I don't know. I saw it in a comment, and I went and looked, and yeah, I found something in this episode that I don't think, I'm not seeing a lot of people break down. So,
okay.
I don't
Interesting.
Know. Yeah, let's set up with a summary before we go.
Yes, I was going to say, what's the episode about?
Before we go crazy. So this one, now remember last episode we had Tayo, you know, running around the flying, doing his race thing. We're not so sure about Cid. Cid's not in this. Instead of Cid, we have Fee. Fee, who was there earlier, had her feet up, was talking to Cid in Cid's parlor. Yeah, we think there's a big setup in terms of maybe Cid is going to betray the Bad Batch or be in a situation where it appears that way. We're not quite sure. But anyway, so we are back at Cid's place, and Fee is telling Bola and Ketch, these two individuals, right, there about her encounter with the Octomorph. Now, the Octomorph, and from what I can gather, it sounded a whole lot like what we call like a Dianoga.
Okay.
And in episode 4, when they're in the trash compactor, Luke and Han, they're in there. They've just rescued Princess Leia. They go in this trash compactor, and the thing like wraps around Luke's leg, and it pulls him down.
Oh.
So it had sort of Yeah, she calls it an octomorph. So, but it sounds a lot like a Dianoga, which I thought was really interesting and just a you know, scary kind of creature.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right. So, but she did get from that creature the Grand Pearl of Novok. What is that? We don't know.
No.
We have no idea. They just throw these things at us and it's great. It's more lore. It's more, you know, just universe building, I guess. Galaxy building. Fee takes a look at Omega. Oh, what she found. So they went out. So it starts off there in the junkyard, right? They're out there looking around through the trash and things. They need to find a compressor of some kind. But she finds what looks like a compass.
Mm-hmm.
And this compass has markings. Fee's droid will then translate those markings and learns that there's coordinates. The Kaldar Trinary System.
Oh, yeah. I see it.
Mm-hmm. Trinary System, meaning there are like three suns?
Mm-hmm.
Possibly, which is why we've seen like binary, where you've got the two there and with Tatooine and stuff. So that's kind of cool. But they all basically agreed to go treasure hunting. Some of them are super pumped about it. Some of them are not. And yeah, thank you. This is with Ashley and Co. They write up a good summary afterwards. So I'll put a link to their summary. Thank you guys for that. So it's basically Indiana Jones. It's this treasure hunting idea in Star Wars. We're gonna go look for some lore. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get after it, and it was a fun, exciting episode. I had no idea where it was gonna go, was gonna happen, but we did learn a few really cool, interesting things. I think.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. Now we also want to give a shout out. By the way, if you guys get a chance, go to I think one of the writers, one of the maybe even producers on the show. We've got Jennifer Corbett.
Mm-hmm.
So at Corbett USN, I think is the. I'll put the handle down in the description, but go give her a like and a follow. My goodness. I mean,
that's so awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. We like, I think you stumbled across this. You're looking up some stuff about, you know,
I saw her
who
name.
Works on the show. Yeah. You saw her name in the credits. Yeah.
Right. In the credits, it says Dave Filoni. Everybody knows Dave Filoni. And then Jennifer Corbett. And I was like, who's Jennifer?
Yeah.
She worked on this. And then I found a couple of things. She was at Star Wars Celebration. There's another.
I think she worked on Star Wars Resistance. Mm-hmm. As well at one point, so.
And then supervising director Brad Rau?
Yeah.
Cool. They're awesome. If they ever want to come and talk Star
Wars
with you.
Oh, we'd love to talk Star Wars with them, absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
You know what's really neat, though, is when you go, and this is, unfortunately, I don't know if we're going to be able to make it to our London celebration this year. As I am giving us one more year where we pass on the celebration thing.
I'm sorry, it's
And
my
I don't
fault.
Care if I've got to take my... You know, future younglings. I don't care how I do it. I am going to Star Wars Celebration because it's things like these panels. We saw some images of her, you know, talking about Bad Batch season one, and you get to meet a lot of the people behind this creation,
which is awesome. Yep.
Yeah, and I love learning about the people who are working, who are writing it, who are directing it. You know, all these different things because we do a lot of times the bigger names are just tossed around and we don't really know who the other people are that are working on these things or even some of the voice talent. Like I'm pretty much a story guy. I love to just focus on what happened to the characters and then keeping all the continuity in my mind and where are the Easter eggs and just enjoy the story. But I've tried and I'm going to continue to try to learn more about, I guess, the individuals behind like the making of it. I love that they do the making of.
Yeah.
When like on Disney Plus, they've been showing like how they made The Mandalorian, behind the scenes for Obi-Wan, and you get to see some more of the cast and crew. And I love that. I bought when The Last Jedi came out, I went and bought their behind the scenes like documentary as well. Awesome.
Yeah.
So cool because I wanted to see more of Carrie Fisher and I wanted to see, you know, more of her interacting with Rian Johnson and just all the different things. So it was really, really neat. And I'm glad you found this and brought this up today. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll try to do that more in the future. And we're going to hunt some of these people down.
Yeah.
And we're going to be following their social medias because I want to know what the heck is going on, what they're working on, and all that good stuff. So, yeah. Okay. So, should I just jump right into the thing that I saw?
Please.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Jennifer Corbett wants to come on the show and tell me I'm wrong. But so around, and you can pull this up, go to 7 minutes, 19 seconds. All right.
7:19.
Maybe go back to 7.
I'm at 7:15 right now.
Okay, go back to 7:05 or just 7 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Right, and just turn your volume down there. We don't want to add any extra editing to the podcast here.
No,
I'm just kidding. But then go ahead and play it, and you'll see Fee pulls a sword.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Right, and starts to move a stone and lifts her hand as if she's either sensing something in the Force or as if she was going to move those stones with the Force. And she then decides not to. and looks over her shoulder and says, a little help? Can I get a little help here? And there are a couple times where she asks for, hey, big guy, can I get your help? Almost as if, like, I could do this, but I'm really coaching myself up here to not use the Force to let anybody know that I'm a Jedi. You know what I'm saying? Fee's a daggone Jedi.
Her name is Fee. We stumbled upon that, too.
Fee. Fee
is also a letter of the Greek alphabet, I think.
Yeah, Greek. Uh-huh. She's a mystery, though. Fee is a mystery, and she just sort of shows up, and she's at Sid's parlor. Now, here's the thing. Remember who Sid was. Sid was a former Jedi informant. All right? She had information, worked with the Jedi, I believe. I could be wrong about that, but you guys fact check me on that. I think that's what I remember from season one, and I feel like that's who Sid is. And I think I mentioned last episode, that's why I trust Sid a little bit more, and she said she's changed. Maybe she wasn't always that way, but I really feel like in the last episode, she was saying, hey, I might surprise you. And the surprise, I think on the first wave of surprise would be, oh, she did something that looks treacherous. Mm-hmm. But really, we got to believe her. And Omega will, because she has seen, you know, she understands who Sid is and how important she is. But again, Fee showing up at Sid's parlor to me seems like, how do they know each other? What's the deal here? Is this an old connection? Was she the go-between between the Jedi Order and maybe Sid? Was that sort of her informant, perhaps?
Well, on her wiki page, by the way, it says Scaleback.
Okay.
Consider Genoa, Fee Genoa, to be the most trustworthy pirate she knew. After observing the variety in Clone Force 99, Genoa briefly flirted with Tech.
Yeah, called him Brown Eyes. Yeah.
Wait, oh, they call that's flirting.
Yeah, it's also, there's not much. So, you know, when you make the wiki page, you kind of got to pull out whatever you can find.
They already added the latest, you know, episode of Bad Batch.
Yeah.
She went to Safatoma and the compass and stuff.
So anyway, Fee, I think, is an interesting character. And I feel like the parallel I made inside the Star Wars universe is to Dr. Aphra. Remember we were listening to that sort of the audio drama in the car. Dr. Aphra was running around looking for different lore, helping Vader out, and kind of reminds you of like an Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
So it felt like we're exploring more of the histories and the legends. Like at the end of this, she's talking about a chalice and let's go off and find this, you know, whatever this object is. And she seems to know a lot about ancient artifacts.
Yeah.
So call her a pirate, call her whatever, but she has a good idea of, even when they get on this planet, she calls these individuals the Ancients.
Mm-hmm.
And Wrecker's like, the Jedi? And she's like, before that, buddy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait a second. How do you know all this stuff?
Right.
So, and she has a sword. That was the other thing, too. Right. She pulls a sword, or whatever you want to call that thing. But she pulls it. She puts her hand out there as if she was about to use the Force to move those stones. And we have seen literal, like, Force users, that's a reoccurring theme. They move stones. They levitate stones. Yeah. Rey does it. Luke does it. Many more will do it. Kanan, Ezra in training, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, really cool. I think she's an interesting character to watch, and they just dropped her in here.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. And guess who is really liking her and getting along with her? Omega.
Yep.
Who people are wondering, is she Force sensitive? Is that what was Nala Se up to in terms of any alterations made to her? Is she, we don't know. She's again first generation clone. So
also, when they get to that door after Omega had to get rid of the compass, right? The temple or mountain reclaimed the compass so she can use it anymore. They get to that door. It looks a little bit like the Chamber of Secrets.
You were like, speak Parseltongue. Open that bad boy up.
But she just knows, or like moves along the stone and knows there is that almost like a door handle, and she just pulls it and the door gets up. I wonder if anyone could have done that, or if she felt it, or you had to be, you know, sensitive to something.
Fee is a Jedi confirmed. You're right. Because I was wondering, that's odd.
Yeah, it's too easy, right?
Right, like Hunter and Tech and all these, like the Bad Batch with all of their skills and abilities, they can't figure some of this out, or they didn't notice that. And she's like, sometimes it's just, you know.
Yeah.
Like what was obvious to her was not obvious to them or to us then, at all. And that's typically where a Jedi or some sort of sage-like figure steps in and says, you know.
And then she turns to Omega and does this wink.
Yeah. What's up? She's winking to us, too. saying, yeah, look a little, little further here. I mean, interesting. So she doesn't quite know what all these things are or what the whole... She has the confidence, too, to walk into situations where they almost die multiple times, but yet they get by. And I feel like in the future, she could... we could be totally wrong. We're just spitballing. We're having fun kind of going through it.
Right.
We never know what's going to happen
next.
But
it would
be
cool.
We're not one of those creators who has had all 10, like the first 10 episodes, and we have not seen them. So we have literally no clue if he is a Jedi or not. But I hope it'd be fun.
That'd be really cool.
It'd be fun. It would make sense too with Sid. Yeah. It would make sense that, you know, she's so confident. I mean, going into this and she's got a lot of different skills. Yeah. She's bragging about stuff and telling stories, and maybe those are stories she's telling about her master.
Yeah.
When they went and did stuff or whatever. Because Hunter's sort of like, that sounds far fetched.
Yeah.
That's a tall tale.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, not if it's a Jedi.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, not if it's a Jedi. Yeah. So there it is. I hope for sure.
That'd be cool. And what's that energy anyway? The energy that they find there in that
crystal
thing.
Right. So
that's interesting.
Let me pull up something here real quick. This was interesting. So more and more, it seems like they're going back. I don't know if Star Wars is doing this, and it's great. It's really good. I think it gets the internet a buzz. Like, things go trending for a little bit on the internet when you drop Easter eggs that make people go like, oh my gosh, that's from the Knights of the Old Republic, or that's from the Dawn of the Jedi, or these things like that's the Rakatan Empire. And you're like, whoa, what are all these different things? Who was the Prime Jedi? It's just fun. I mean, they're kind of mixing some of legends, bringing in little Easter eggs and making people, rewarding people, I think, even who read all that stuff and loved it, but are still watching their new products, their new stuff, and saying, hey, you guys were there when we released this comic book series and you read it, right?
Right.
You consumed it. You read this book or whatever. We're going to write our own thing and do our own thing because we're making new content, but we are going to put little Easter eggs in there that make you go, wait, who are those people? Like, who are the ancients? What is this power? What is this heart of the mountain, if that's a thing? This big device that is wrecking and destroying this planet, someone put that crystal in there to shut it down.
Yep.
To shut it down and just to keep it sort of all like good to go. Mm-hmm. There's actually something in the High Republic in the books that they're doing right now where I forget what they're called, the Drengir or something like that. They are dormant, and there are certain rituals and there's certain things that the Jedi and that Force users did to imprison them and keep them entombed, which is the name of this episode, to keep that thing entombed. Mm. And now they have, they've let it out, so it can now go and destroy stuff. So Fee puts the heart of the mountain back into it, and then it shuts it down and destroys it.
Yep.
Right. So, and it looks like to activate that thing, you had the compass. So you needed the compass to find the chamber to get in there and reactivate it. Just to get through it safely, whatever. But the compass is buried on like Ord Mantell in a junkyard. In a ship, maybe, that Omega just finds. It makes you think that maybe Omega does have a little bit of a sense, and this is an important object.
Oh, yeah, she says, Fee tells her, you have a
good
eye or sense for important things.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's typically, again, another Jedi Force-sensitive sort of trait. It doesn't have to be over-the-top Force pulls, Force pushes, and lightsaber fights. It can be in a lot of different things. I love that they explore that side of the Force a little bit. But they do it with Ezra Bridger, where he can connect with animals. And he's more of a spirit kind of... He can sense them, communicate with them, calm them down. It's a different type of the Force that you're... Yeah. It's the same, but I mean, they're just... It's manifesting differently through their abilities. And so... And also, I mean, if Omega is Force sensitive, then she's not, you know, she's not trained or anything.
Right.
So, there's that. But Fee is just interesting. I want to know what you guys think. I mean, go back and look at this. Watch her first. Look into Sid a little bit. Look into who Fee is. And when she shows up at Sid's parlor, ask yourself, why does she know all this stuff about the different lore and puzzles, the confidence that she walks into these really dangerous situations and is sort of like, she just has her droid. And she's got like this sword and a blaster. Okay. That's it.
Yeah, Mel. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, no.
I was like, she can't be serious. That was a good.
Say goodbye. to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Trip, but her droid got destroyed.
Right, I know. It was wild.
But then she said, oh, it's okay. It happens
she's
all the
time. She's backed up on the ship, yeah.
She's
got
that's
his
good.
Memory bank, so she'll rebuild him. It's happened from time to time, okay. Something from, like, a Screen Rant article I want to read to you guys, just a portion of it, where they talk a little bit about the ancients and sort of what mm-hmm. is maybe going on here. So Star Wars seems to be increasingly interested in the ancient history of the galaxy. The pattern seems to have been set by Star Wars The Last Jedi. So in Star Wars The Last Jedi, Luke goes back to Octu or Octo, however you want to say it, apparently the first Jedi temple, where there's this mural of the Prime Jedi. Remember you asked me at one point, who was the first Jedi?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you're
mm-hmm.
like, okay, there. This is what they show you sort of in The Last Jedi. So the one who founded the Order, and it hinted that the Jedi did not serve the light side. You know, the Prime Jedi was depicted as having being balanced first and foremost, you know, having both light and darkness, and the darkness in the light. So because it has this sort of like yin and yang symbol.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If you look up the Prime Jedi, which is cool. So since then, they've kind of gone on to explore more of the philosophy behind the Force or Force users or the Jedi, and then looking into some of the ancient culture in Star Wars. And they've done that through Dr. Aphra, as I mentioned. So mm-hmm. her father was searching for Jedi artifacts and was obsessed with it. And Dr. Aphra is working with Vader, hunting things down, really helping with Luke Skywalker and other things, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then Bad Batch Season 2, Episode 5, we get this whole episode where we're going on a treasure hunt that turns out to be something that predates even the Jedi Order, the Ancients. And like, what, you know, who are they? Who are the Ancients? What is this? What is this society?
Yeah.
The Mandalorian, the Book of Boba Fett, also introduce Force virgences associated with the earliest Jedi. So that's all good. You also have different. There's been a lot of different Rakata Easter eggs where, like, the Rakata were this. Let me see if we can find more about them for you. I'll look them up later. But anyways, they basically go and sort of enslave a lot of the galaxy, and they're this empire that's pretty like radical. They're extreme. The Ancients, yeah. Yes. What you
real
have a question?
Quick? I know yeah. it. It's not Bad Batch, but we're also watching Rebels right now.
Yeah.
And I just had to think about Bendu.
Bendu, yeah.
Does he count as one of those ancient beings that has both? Because to him, it's not really, you know, light or dark side. To him, mm-hmm. it's just the Force, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how old he is sort of unknown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know much about about him. I mean, other than he's this force sensitive who sort of is, he calls himself in between the light and the dark.
Right. The center of the force. Yep.
Yeah.
That reminds, because it looks really cool when you said the symbol of the ancient or the first Jedi or even before Prime Jedi. Prime Jedi. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks really cool. It looks like, you need both. It's the balance.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we can do, we can maybe do a little breakdown to go read up again That's on the cool.
Bendu. Yeah.
And I don't want you to read too far because there are spoilers.
Okay.
For Rebels there. But
I'm not going to read his article then.
So there you go. The Bendu is not done yet. Where we are currently in the beginning of season three. I know some of you guys have only heard the episodes up through season two as we're doing our rewatch of that for Lottie. And we've got a new format coming out because those are some of our most popular episodes. People are loving the Rebels rewatch, which is wild to me. I love it. So. Here's a quick little connection, though, to Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
I guess there are markings on the planet Batu or in Galaxy's Edge, which is sort of the theme park, right, down in Orlando. There's mysterious structures linked to a civilization called the Ancients. There you go. It's difficult to say whether these Ancients are the same beings or if they're different. Or if they're just referring to anyone prior to the Jedi or to known history as just they're the Ancients. We don't know whether they're good or they're different groups inside of that, as they're just one group or whatever, but they're just called the Ancients, and there you go. So that's mentioned here in this episode. It's been hinted at through other Easter eggs. Like, I think in Andor, in Luthen's shop, there was another Rakatan relic or Easter egg, if you will. So, yeah, there's a lot of little things, little hints that there is that they're not going to bring that back. Well, who knows? I mean, that they're at least exploring it and they're putting in fun stuff for Star Wars fans to find.
Yeah,
which I think is really cool.
I think it's awesome. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. That is. I mean, otherwise in this episode we just had a lot of, it was really Fee driven, and Fee takes them on this quest. They're all still trying to figure out what to do. They said the last time they went after treasure, right? They're 0 for 2, right? So the last time was not good. This time didn't work out. They ended up destroying this thing altogether, which was probably a good thing.
Yeah.
And it seems like Fee doesn't know what she's getting into exactly. She's just sort of drawn towards a legend and some lore, and she's going to go explore that and figure it out. And maybe she comes across some power or some way to rebuild the Jedi. You know, I'm going crazy. Once I start down this path of someone's a Jedi, and I see them after Order 66, my mind just goes wild. So, you know, I don't know. If you guys got any thoughts or theories on it, let us know. But, yeah. Other thoughts on this episode?
Do you think that next episode we're going to see her again? Or is it just like, okay, another, I don't know, 2-3 weeks are going to pass and then we're going to explore something different?
Yeah, I think they'll probably explore something different. I think she'll come and go here and there. And she comes in for important episodes and we're getting little hints. We'll go away from it. Then we'll forget about her for a second. We'll come back 2-3 episodes later. Another hint that she's a Jedi. You know, it's the breadcrumbs that they're laying down throughout the season, which is awesome.
Yep.
What was that crystal thing, though? I mean, that was like a different type of energy. Some people were saying it's again, these are all technologies from the Ancients or from ancient times. And clearly they had the ability to use hyperspace and they could travel in hyperspace. So if we're if we assume that Batu and then this place are a part of an ancient sort of empire or were connected, that the Ancients visited both planets, then they had advanced technology. And, you know, through war, whether it's the Jedi Sith War or something later on that causes them to lose this technology or they're defeated, you know, who knows? It's all, I mean, because in the Star Wars timeline, in the old Legends timeline, it goes back like 20,000 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes back far.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff that we think is super, like Knights of the Old Republic and things like that are just, you know, a couple, like not even 10,000, 5,000, 3,000 maybe years back. And so, when you go back to the dawn of all of this and you go back to those really ancient times, it's like 20,000 years ago.
That's crazy, yeah.
Which is crazy. So
can't really fathom how
They set up a
much
really
time
good,
that is.
Yeah, they set up a really good sort of, you know, lore. I mean, for you and I, like just on a funny side note here, look at the Great Pyramids of Egypt. Look at the Sphinx. How old is the Sphinx? You guys let me know, okay? The archaeologists are debating about it, and Ancient Aliens is definitely debating it, okay?
Yeah.
As to when it's accurate.
There's something cool. Just the color scheme of this whole thing.
Yeah.
We have, when they first discover the crystal thing, it's like glowing purple inside, but the whole thing is kind of blue.
Yeah.
And on the way there, we see every time Omega lights up the compass, it's purple, and all the lights that are, you know, on mm-hmm. the walls and the signs and stuff are all glowing in blue. So there's definitely a color scheme here, blue and purple.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was cool that blue was always, when it was dark, it would light up blue.
Yeah.
And every time she put light in the thing, it was purple.
Yeah. And so you combine those into the crystal.
Yeah, it was both in there. And then when they discover it, it's really purple. And then at the end, when they put it back and the whole thing shuts down, the monster basically is destroyed. We see a blue light kind of flowing into the thing.
Oh,
when
really?
They put it in there, I'm trying to find the exact scene.
Yeah.
Where they put it back. Oh, yeah, here it is. It's like, what is it?
It's almost like light is coming out of the...
24 minutes almost?
Yeah.
So then it stops. It was going to destroy their ship.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped it just in time, shuts down, and then now we see all the purple glowing again in there.
Yeah, it's blowing up.
And it's like a...
Mm-hmm.
And then it melts down. Yeah.
Yeah, completely melts.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it, because it seems like it's used to stop this. It seems like it's a good artifact,
mm-hmm.
you know, something that was stopping a war machine. So what could do that? Like, it doesn't seem like that, wherever it's placed, it doesn't seem like mm-hmm. that's maybe what that was designed for. It's almost like mm-hmm. someone else was trying to defeat this thing and they had an mm-hmm. artifact that they could use to shut it down. We don't know. I mean, maybe we're wrong about that. Maybe this machine was actually just a war device that is still mm-hmm. thinking it's fighting an enemy that's not there or something. Who knows? And it's just gone completely bonkers.
Hopefully no one's going to find it and revive it and use it again.
Well, and that is the point we're going to end on, because I do think, mm-hmm. actually, that like if you look at this thing and how it was destroying the planet, some folks are speculating that the Empire, it's a long shot, but this is the technology, essentially, that they use to destroy planets. They use kyber crystals for it, right? That's in the Death Star. You'll learn more about that in Rebels. Mm-hmm. We already know sort of how they use it in Episode 4. We know the Death Star is the big thing that Palpatine is building towards. Mm-hmm. Instead of going for a big fleet like Thrawn and other people think he should do, a massive fleet to patrol the galaxy, he wants one mega super Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Death Star. And this thing is using... like this beam of energy to just destroy the surface of a planet.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it feels like it's something that if they're looking for, because we're still way early in the Empire. And if people were tracking these guys and they come around, they see the technology, they might start collecting some of it to take back and use for the Death Star, perhaps. So who knows? Who knows?
Wow. And then Andor is going to build it. And not Andor.
Cassian Andor. Yeah, they work on it in the prison, right? I mean, and they're going to continue to, we'll see. There's little tiny hints here and there, whether it's books or the TV shows or movies, where they're showing you a little bit of this, like behind the curtain, the building of the Death Star or where things are going and everything, which is kind of cool.
I'm sorry, but I'm so jealous of all the Star Wars fans. I mean, I'm also considering myself a fan now, but I mean, still, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
You guys have all that stuff. I want this in the Wizarding World, in the Potterverse.
I
want more stories that connect and more side characters and
more lore.
Yes, please.
Lore is so much fun. Just
it
being
is.
Able to, especially when there's
it's
so much that you can, that you can just dig into and sort of like try to connect the dots. And it's just, it's great when video games do it or stories do it. And yeah, Star Wars has done it's 40 years of it, where it's just been around for so long that they go back, honestly, to the originals, and they look at even this droid that was in this episode.
Yeah.
They model a lot of that stuff off of things that they saw in episodes 4, 5, and 6, and then what did they see in episodes 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
So there's just so much. There's really, and it's fantastic. And it's a galaxy. That's what I love about it. And people are like, there's too much Star Wars. It's a galaxy that they can fill. And honestly, there's a lot you can do inside of these time periods we're talking about. Like there's still a lot of things. Like if you look at the end of the Mandalorian series, where I think when Luke creates his Jedi Temple on Ossus, this is one of the things I've been thinking about. He creates it in 9 ABY. There's 21 years until that temple is destroyed.
Yeah.
21 years where for 7 years, you could go on some arc and some grand adventure. I mean, the galactic sort of like episodes 4, 5, and 6, they take place in a matter of 4 or 5 years, I think. Mm-hmm. Something like that. So, I mean, there's just... And you say you have 21 years to do something with Luke and his academy?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Solo doesn't even show up there until like midway through that. So I guess as I think about the galaxy and then the timeline and where you can fill things in, there's plenty of room for all these different characters. And that's why I think Fee is a great, is surprisingly a great character. And actually, looking at her costume more, I just keep talking about Fee. Go. I have a still of her at the end walking out. She looks like a Jedi. When you look at her like almost what would be like a tunic, her shirt that she's wearing,
yeah,
it's got a high collar. It looks, yeah, she looks like she could fit right into the Jedi Order if you threw a robe on her and everything. Just sick. So
they say she was described as a cross between Han Solo, Jack Sparrow from the Pirates of the Caribbean films, and the pirate Anne Bonny.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe with her like headband or something like that, you know. But like, if you just look at the tunic she's wearing there, just her top shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got like, yeah, she's got the blaster on her hip. She's got the boots and everything too, which I get. But nah, if you look at the top shirt and the decorative, you know, piece to it and the way it all is embroidered and stuff, it looks like it could fit right in the Jedi Order. So
yeah,
in my opinion, all right. But that's just it's also probably Ez trying to make things work and fit into a box that I think is cool, which is the Force and Jedi. So anyway, all right, friends. Hey. I think that's it. So just a quick little rundown here. We woke up early, and we got some snow out there to go play in. We're having a good day. Bad Batch is out. It keeps us intrigued, and you know, little Easter eggs here and there. We're having fun with it. I think this was a fun episode.
So, it was.
Because everyone was back together.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the little adventure and
which is good.
Mystery and just how it looked. Again, I always want to point out the artwork and colors and it's just fun to me to watch.
Yeah, before we leave here, friends, Lottie is working. She's working on all sorts of art stuff. She was reading a book, though, where the lead designer on Dark Forces, Star Wars Dark Forces, and some of the other games like from the 90s.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
You were still like an art concept
the 3D
sort of thing.
Art.
Yeah.
Yes. And I found it at Half Price Bookstore.
Yeah, yeah.
At a Half Price Bookstore. And it was just sitting there. No one wants to pick it up because it's so old.
Right.
And you guys know how fast things develop if it, you know, comes down to 3D technology. And, I mean, now we got AI and all that stuff. But the basics are still the same. And I was like, this is awesome. This is all I want to know. And this person describes, I wish I had the book up here because I can't remember his name. We'll talk about it next time, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to mention it's really so.
The connection is cool because he shows you some Star Wars stuff and
yeah, what he did in the games,
ships
and
places. So it's cool.
Yeah, because you're looking at textures and different stuff like that. So yeah, as we go along, I mean, like especially for an animated series, I think you know Lottie's gonna be seeing a lot of different sort of colors and the way they do stuff and the way they build worlds and everything. It's just it's really cool. Now this one was a little bit, you know, grimy and had been destroyed and was rough and everything. But once that machine lit up, it was full.
It was cool.
Color and design. It
looked like a big Pokemon.
What was that Pokemon you said? I can't remember.
Dialga. I don't know how you call it in English, but it looked like a legendary.
Wild. So
that was fun.
All right. Hey, friends, thanks so much. We'll be posting some extra episodes. We got some guests lined up for The Mandalorian, by the way. We've got a Rebel rewatch coming down the line, and we're going to be watching season 1 and season 2 of The Mandalorian. Sometime we're going
to
fit it all
in. Oh, yeah, we have to.
Before March 1st. It is all coming super fast. So thank you guys for all the support. Thank you to everyone who signed up over on Patreon and who wants to kind of, you know, join in with the fun over there. So you guys are great. Appreciate you so much. And friends, as always, may the Force be with you.
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA, so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.